Looking at Job, we're looking at the oldest book in the Bible alongside the book of Genesis. The historical events of Job appear to be set during the patriarchal period of the Bible, sometime between Noah and Moses. And we know from Job 1 that Job was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He was a man of integrity. We don't have to read much of Job to find the central question that really every generation of humanity asks, and that is this: why do good people suffer? Job wrestles with that question. He has three great friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and they represent the traditional understanding of suffering, and they argue that Job must have committed sin to be experiencing such devastating loss in his life. That Job, you must have done something horrible. And so, in the first three chapters of Job, we see what is taking place in the spiritual warfare world with Satan and God. And in the next number of chapters, chapters 4 all the way through 37, we have this ongoing dialogue between Job's friends and then Job's response. Sometimes Job's friends are accusing him. Sometimes he's defending himself. Sometimes Job is wallowing in pity in some passages, and his friends don't always come up with the right things to say. The author of Job lets his audience in on a scene played between God and Satan in heaven, introducing a perspective that often we forget about when God allows seasons of weakness in our lives. I don't like seasons of weakness. Most of you probably don't like seasons of weakness. In Job 4, after 7 days of his friends being with him and not saying a word, remaining silent, just trying to be a support to Job after all he lost, they finally speak up, and Eliphaz speaks up in verse number 3. And he's speaking to Job, and he says, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee. And thou, Job, you are now fainting. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled." If you look at verse number 8, if we go back to chapter number 1, just to kind of catch a snapshot here of what's going on. Remember, the Lord said unto Satan in verse number 8 of chapter number 1, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" So Satan's there before the Lord, and he's going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down. And the Lord says unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" In other words, yeah, Job is that way, God, because all you've done is protect him. Why don't you just take the hedge away and let's really see what Job is like? And God does that, doesn't he? And all this is happening. And in Job's life, I tried to just view his life through human, without knowing Job 1. Job's a successful man in his day. Job's an honest man. Job's a man of integrity. Job's a really, really good guy, and his family's headed in a good direction from everything that we can tell. And then all of a sudden, Job's troubled. Job, according to Eliphaz, was a man that was a strength to others. He instructed. He taught others. He, the ones that were falling, he was there to help pick up. Those that were weak, he used his strong hands to help them. There were people that leaned on Job. But the gears got switched. And now Job is a weak man. And in verse 13, it tells us how fast this can happen. Job 1, verse number 13, and there was a day, not 1,000 years, not a year, not a month, not a week, but a day. And there's a number of things that happen in that day. A messenger comes unto Job in verse number 14 and reports all of the oxen and asses that Job had. They're slain. And he's the only one escaped to tell Job that. This is happening in one day. And while that messenger came to Job, there's another one coming in verse number 16. And all the sheep that Job had and the servants, fire of God fell from heaven and they're all burned up. And now this messenger is the only one escaped to tell Job this. And on the same day while he's yet speaking, verse number 17, there came another. And the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And another, a fourth messenger, comes to Job on the same day from what we know in Scripture. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house and it fell upon the young men and they are dead. And of course, his children as well. And Job went from strength to weakness in a day. You ever been in a season of weakness before? That came out of nowhere? Weakness comes at times through abrupt physical ailments. Was 6 weeks ago on a Thursday morning, somewhere around there, that I was on the phone with Caprice Turner. Caprice was living a normal life. Everything seemed to be good. But a doctor's visit, a test report, and abruptly, Caprice was shaken. That's not a knock on Caprice, by the way. That's life. Weakness comes through deep sorrow and loss. It comes through the multiplicity of burdens and trials. Sometimes it comes through a long trial. Sometimes it comes through a family conflict or through financial reversals or through personal rejection, through loss of hope or getting hit blindsided with bad news or a horrible accident. It seems that we can become weak literally overnight. Instead of being the one to lift up the fallen, support the weak, strengthen the feeble knees, all of a sudden we are the ones that need support, strengthening, lifted up, support, encouragement, and so on. And Job is an example of this. And so, having laid that groundwork today, I want to preach a message entitled, What to Do When God Allows a Season of Weakness in Your Life. You say, Preacher, I'm not in one right now. Great. Great. But I want to give you a very, very true statement, and that is this. The season of living in strength in our lives does not last forever. That is true of every individual under the sound of my voice today. The season of you living in a position of strength will not last forever. And so, Job was a rock for others. Job is broken. Job is tired. Job is worn down. Job is in deep grief. Imagine running a race when all of a sudden it feels as though a gorilla jumped on your back. And you are out of breath. Your legs are heavy. And every stride that you take is becoming more and more of an effort. Gradually your body comes to a grinding halt. This experience is often called hitting the wall for a runner. Job hit a wall. So what did Job do when he hit the wall of the season of weakness? Here's the question. How does a man of integrity respond in a season of weakness? You say, Preacher, I haven't had a recent grief. I haven't had a bad physical report. I don't have family conflict that I'm dealing with in my life. All the things that you mentioned, I don't have. That's fine. It can come in some avenue that I didn't mention. Did you know that sudden unknowns can be a season of weakness? I talk much with our singles in our church. And lots of good young adults in our church. Let me say that. We're blessed. We're blessed. But you know, you go through high school and you graduate from high school and you kind of have things on your docket. It may be college. It may be taking some classes. It may be a job. It may be a mate. And then you step into this world of unknown where not all of that falls into place right away. And what's next? What's going to happen next? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to marry? Am I going to wonder where I'm at in circles for a long time? But unknown sometimes throws us into the same season of our lives. You say, preacher, what can help me if I'm in that season? Number one, if you're taking notes, number one. Seasons of weakness are times to keep your heart with all diligence. Let me say it again. Seasons of weakness in your life are times that you need to keep your heart with all diligence. I want you to know something. Job lost his family, but he kept his heart toward God. I want you to know something. Job lost his children, but he kept his heart. Job lost his servants, but he kept his heart. Job lost his animals, his camels and his sheep, his oxen and his asses, but he kept his heart. Job's wife lost her faith, but Job kept his heart. In seasons of weakness, you better do due diligence to keep your heart toward the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn to Job 1, verse 22. We'll see that he kept his heart because he kept his lips. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. What comes off my lips is coming directly from my heart. Look at this in Job 1, verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. To keep your lips, you have to keep your heart. Job kept his lips because he kept his heart. Look at Job 2, verse number 10. Job 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, in the last part of the verse, after Job's wife said in verse number 9, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Job, curse God and die. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job's wife was used as a drain upon her husband, yet he kept his heart. Job said in Job 31, verse number 6, that God may know mine integrity. He said, preacher, what should I be doing in times of weakness, in a season of weakness, in a season of fainting in my life? What should I be doing? Keeping your heart. Keep it right toward God. Keep it right toward others. Keep it right, period. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. That's important. We learn that it means to maintain faithfulness to God, even under great trials in which we do not understand what all is going on. You understand, Job did not know the scene of heaven. It's introduced to us in Job chapter 1, but Job is not aware of what's going on. Job doesn't know that the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job doesn't know that Satan said, have Job served you for naught? God, take away all the protections and let's see. And God says, fine, you can do everything but kill him. You can't kill him. All this is going on in heaven, in the spiritual world. And Job is living here on earth, oblivious to that. And Job is keeping his heart. Look at James, if you will, James chapter 5, James chapter 5. Part of patience is making sure your heart stays in the right direction in seasons of weakness. Look at verse number 8 of James chapter number 5. James 5, verse number 8. Be ye also patient. What's the next phrase? Somebody help me. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brother, unless ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I think it's interesting that the Bible testifies of Job's patience, and it also testifies of Job's heart. And the what is given to the brethren in James is not only to be patient, but make sure your heart stays in the right direction. My, when you're in a season of weakness, your heart has to stay right. Your heart has to stay tender. You say, preacher, what's going to help me with that? Number one, remember, you see less than God sees. When you're in a season of weakness, remember this. You see less than God sees. That's important for us to remember. Job 1 points that out, but Job also recognizes that. He says in Job 23:10, here's what he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. Job didn't know the whole way, but Job, in keeping a heart that is close and right towards God, said, God sees more than I see. God can see my way. He knows the way that I take. My friend, to keep a heart right toward God in seasons of weakness, you have got to understand something. God sees more than you do. God sees more than you do. Number two, you have got to understand that God is a God of the future. Not only does He see more than I see in my season of weakness, but God also is a God of the future. He knoweth the way that I take in Job 23. For when I'm tried, I shall come forth. I shall, future tense. God's got good in this for me. God's got development in this for me. I shall come forth as gold. God's interested in what I am going to be in the future. He sees more than I see, but God's interested in the future. We must be reminded of that. Job 19, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. God's got my future. I know that Jesus lives. I know that the latter day, the end day, when all of this ends, I know I'm going to be standing with Him. Because God is a God of the future. He sees more than I see, and He's a God of the future. In Job 5, verse number 11, James 5, verse 11, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The end of the Lord. Dear friend, in a season of weakness, it's sometimes hard to look past the clouds and the fog. But one of the things that the man of integrity did in the book of Job was he saw that God was a God of the future, and he kept his heart. Amen. If you're going to keep your heart, you need to be reminded God sees more than you see. Number two, you need to be reminded God's a God of the future. Number three, you need to be reminded this. God will never act outside of His character and nature on your behalf. He will never act outside of His character or nature on your behalf. You're never going to look at God and what God is allowing in your life or what God is doing in your life and say, wow, that's out of character for God. I want you to understand God's never out of character. So all that God is to the individual, God is to you, and He will always act within the boundaries of His own character. That is our God. And my friend, that's why you ought to keep your heart toward God right. Keep your heart right. Job 23:16 says, for God maketh my heart soft. What's going on in Job's life? Oh, God's making his heart soft. God's doing something in his life. Secondly, say, preacher, what do I do in a season of weakness? When God allows a season of weakness in my life, what do I do? Number one, you keep your heart. Number two, you rehearse what God has done through you. This is an interesting thing that you find over and over in Job's life. When we are in seasons of weakness, we often feel worthless. Can I say that again? When we are in a season of weakness, we often feel worthless or useless. Can't do what I used to do. Been sidelined because of whatever. Feel trapped in my life because of this situation. It's interesting to notice where Job spends mind time in his season of weakness. Turn to Job 29. Job 29. Look at verse number 12. By the way, I think this is what Eliphaz was trying to do. Job, let's look. Job, let's not look where you're at. Let's look at where God's used you. You've instructed many. You've strengthened the weak. You've lifted up the fallen. You've strengthened the weak knees, the Bible says. Now Job is musing to himself, verse number 12, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. In verse number 15, I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Here we learn a couple things. Number one, do good while you can. Do good while you can. There will be a day where you can't do what you can do today. Do good. And Job is now in the season of weakness, and Job is reflecting back. Hey, at least when I could, I ministered to the poor. At least when I could, I brought joy or song to the widow. At least when I could, I was eyes to help the blind. And I was feet to the lame. At least when I could, I was interested in helping the fatherless, the orphan. In Job 29, verse 25, if you drop down to verse 25, I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Why is God bringing all this to mind? It's to help Job in the season of weakness, not to buy into the fact that he's worthless. Job, you're not worthless. Job, your life has been used by God. Listen this afternoon, congregation. I don't know who's in the season of weakness this afternoon, but I do need to speak these words of truth and comfort. If you're in a season of weakness, you have not become worthless. That's important for you to recognize. It's important for you to reflect, man, God's used me. God's still got a plan. God's the God of the future. Yes, I'm where I'm at now. But God wants to use me, has used me in the past. Important. He says in Job 31, 32, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. Over and over, Job's mind time was not on how worthless I am, but how God has used me. Important. What do we do in times of weakness? Number one, you keep your heart. Number two, you reflect on how God has used you. Number three, seasons of weakness are times to trust God's wisdom and strength. Turn to Job 12. Job 12. Look at verse number 13 with me, if you will. Job 12. What do I do, preacher? If I'm in a season of weakness, if I am fainting, if I'm the one that needs lifted up, you trust God's wisdom and strength. Verse 13, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Verse number 16, with him is wisdom or strength and wisdom. Notice the deceived and the deceiver are his. Notice it talks about a number of other things that he has done. I want you to understand something, that God's workings are beyond man's ability to fathom. You just are not going to understand it all, and neither am I. We cannot wrap our heads, our finite brains, around all that God is doing or all that God is going to do. Man simply can't tie all the loose ends of the Lord's purposes together. So, when we're in a time of weakness, we have to trust God's wisdom and His strength. He hath established the world by His wisdom, according to Jeremiah 10, verse number 12. To God only wise, in Romans 16, 27, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. We would define wisdom like this. Wisdom, somebody asked me this the other day, we were talking through what wisdom is. Wisdom would be making the right judgments, the correct judgments on things, the best judgment, and then taking the best possible course of action based on that judgment. There's a tornado warning. My judgment, my house has the possibility of being destroyed. It's in my area. The best possible course of action might be for me to get downstairs on some inside walls. Wisdom. Judgment mixed with action. God's wisdom is perfect judgment about my life, mixed with He will take the perfect action. Not the best. The perfect. God's wisdom about my life is that He will always make the perfect judgments about what I need when I need it. God's wisdom, my friends, I don't know that we often think in seasons of weakness that God is wise. He's infinitely wise. That means everything that He is allowing, everything that He is to me, everything that's taking place in my mind and in my life that's from the Lord is perfectly wise from Him. And He's taking the perfect action in my life. Whether that's I sit down and I read 1 Samuel chapter 1 today by the understanding of the Spirit of God, and He drops in my lap what exactly I need from that chapter on that day in my life, or I'm driving down the road and He quickens my mind to pray for somebody, God's wisdom is perfect. You can trust it. You can trust His wisdom and you can trust His strength. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of it. You can never plunge to understand the depths of God's wisdom. When we get to Job chapter number 38, God goes into I don't want to call it a fit, but God just starts asking Job question after question. Chapters 4 through 37, Job's going back and forth between his friends. We get to chapters 38 through 42, and he's asking questions like this. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? God asked this question, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issues out of the womb? All kinds of questions in chapter 38 and 39. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea in verse 16? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? What's he bringing Job to? He's bringing Job to the fact, Job, you can trust my wisdom. And you can trust my strength. Job, after listening to God for a couple chapters, responds in chapter 42 and verse number 5. He says, mine eye hath seen thee, or my ear hath heard thee, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know what Job was saying? Job's saying, I've come to a point, my trust has developed in your wisdom and your power and your strength. We know he had some of that because earlier in the book in Job 13, 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? God, I don't know what you're doing, but your wisdom, your strength, and your power, I know I can trust you. You say, preacher, what I do in times of weakness? Number one, you keep your heart. Number two, you reflect on how God has used you. Number three, we learn here, you trust God's wisdom and you trust God's strength. That's what people of integrity do in times of weakness. You say, preacher, what else do I do? The last thing you do in times of weakness is you speak right about God. Amen. You speak right about God. Preacher, I don't feel like I can do anything else for the Lord. It just seems like one by one, the ministries that I served in and the things that I used to do for the Lord, I can't do it anymore. You're not useless. Job was stripped of everything. He was stripped of health. He was stripped of family, security. But I want you to see something very important this afternoon. There is a way that God uses people in seasons of weakness, maybe like He uses no other. Job 42, would you turn there in your Bibles? Job chapter 42. Because when somebody speaks right about God in seasons of weakness, it may be the brightest light about God that people shine. We're in Job 42. I want you to look with me at verse number 7. Job 42, verse number 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." Now watch this. Eliphaz, Zophar, the three friends, they didn't lose everything. And yet they did not speak right about God. And God knew it. Job lost everything. And God compares them and says, "My wrath is kindled against Job's three friends because you did not speak right of me as Job hath." By the way, he doesn't say it once, he says it twice. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "My servant Job shall pray for you." Middle of the verse. "For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." Seasons of weakness are times to speak right about God. Parent, you're in a season of weakness. Speak to your kids right about God. Boy, they need to hear it. They need to hear when you're facing unknown, when you're facing pain, when you're weak, when you're worn, when the trial is long, they need to hear, you know what? God loves us. You know what? God's faithful to us. You know what? What we know about God, we know that God is infinitely wise. We know He's strong. We know that He will be everything for us. You know what, kids? God's enough. Speak right about God. Grandparents, speak right about God to your grandchildren. People in the church, speak right about God to others in the church. When you're in a season of weakness. From Job's life, remember, God is listening. God is listening. He's listening to us in our seasons of weakness. How are we speaking about Him? Job spoke right. Last thing I'll give you is Job prayed for his friends. Preacher, I can't do much. Oh, but you can pray. Job 42, verse number 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." So, preacher, what do I do in seasons of weakness? Number one, priority number one, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Remember, God sees more than you do. Remember, God's a God of the future. Remember, God's not going to act inconsistent with you. He's not going to act inconsistent of His character. Keep your heart. Number two, preacher, what I do? Reflect on how God has used you. You're not worthless. God has used you. Rejoice in the fact that God has used you. You say, preacher, what do I do in times of weakness? You trust God's wisdom and His strength. He makes perfect judgments about your life, and He's going to take perfect action in your life. Trust Him. Trust Him. What do I do, preacher, in times of weakness? Speak right about God. God's listening. Others are listening. Speak right about God. What do I do, preacher, in times of weakness? Pray for others. Pray for others. What a tremendous testimony, Job, whose life in a day went from strength to weakness. What do you do when things change so fast like that? You follow Job's example.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.